In regards to time, we find ourselves with a multitude of experiences. When we hate doing something, it seems like the clock ticks slower. You ever notice that? When we were in Germany, I was the last 2 years, I was 5 and 6, and we had to get our shots. And sitting in the medical clinic with the smell of the alcohol wipes that they would use on your arm, waiting for that shot, which I absolutely hated, it seemed like Jesus was going to come because it was taking forever. Later on, I had a job. I was a young adult and not a pastor at that time, but I hated that job. And if you've ever hated your job, you notice how longer the day seems. Yeah. We have all kinds of experiences. When Gwen was pregnant with our first one, Megan, for most of you, you know, pregnancy is 9 months. It seemed like 22. You know, you wait forever. And now my daughter's 35. Where did the time go? And then there's the reflection about our time. You know, we say, well, if I had only known, I would have done something different. I would have used my time this way instead of that. If I had known, I would have planned better. And on we go with our reflections on time. Our Lord gives us word for today. And as we think about our world, we recognize in some ways it is so true. It says the days are evil. That doesn't sound too positive, does it? But do we understand just how evil it is? What does it take to convince people the days are evil? How bad does it have to be before we believe it is bad? And as we look back, we often ask, well, how did it get this way? And we start that again, that process about reflection on time. When we think of the cultural changes that have taken place. More and more couples live together before they get married. Profanity is now on TV, major network, right? Now you have programs about same-sex relationships just about daily on the TV. Now almost every nature program is about evolution instead of God. And more programs are about self-esteem and how to fix yourself. And that's fact. The top book-selling category is self-help books today. How did we get this way? Today's lesson gives us the clues. Because our problems today are not different than the problems in the community of a Christian church long ago. The problems in that town was the fact that human thinking began to prevail over biblical truth. Philosophy and ethics and morals and religion and, you know, all kinds of thinking impacted the community. And it impacted the way people spent their time. You have it before you on the back of your bulletin. It is the letter to the Ephesians, chapter 5. Let no one deceive you with empty words, for because of these things, the wrath of God comes upon the sons of disobedience. The difficulty is what we consider empty words. It's amazing how long it takes for us to learn that the words that we once heard had value. And some people seem to never learn that one. My mother tried to teach us all manners. Chew with your mouth shut. Don't talk with your mouth full. And on it went, right? And you thought those were the dumbest rules in the house. You know, get your elbows off the table. What happens if you never learn those words, you become an embarrassment to self and you offend those around you, where you're sitting in a formal dining room in a 7-course dinner wearing a tux and wondering, how do I conduct myself? And the words come back, chew with your mouth shut, don't talk with your mouth full, and keep your elbows off the table. People tried to teach me, you, as we grew up. But more importantly than that, the Lord wanted us to learn about what words were really empty and that we were not to be deceived by them. The idea that profanity is just an expression, a vocabulary, it's the way we talk nowadays, it doesn't mean a thing. Those are empty words. Often how we say and what we mean when we speak the words, I love you, are often empty. I'll get back to you on that. Sometimes it's empty. I promise, I swear, is often empty. It's more than being street smart, it's being biblically smart about how we conduct ourselves and how the words line up with our actions. And God calls His people to be people of the light instead of people hiding in the darkness. And He talks about that. The darkness is sinful ways. The darkness is self-serving. The darkness is self-glorifying. And at times, the darkness is just pure evil. It is violent, aggressive, and vicious. To the people in the community at Ephesus, the times, we could say, well, it's worse now. Not really. Because wherever there are people and wherever the heart of people is full of its own sinful nature and man has not been redeemed by the water and the word, we have a problem. And this is the lesson for today. It speaks in here about time management. Not because of efficiency for productivity in the workplace, but it is for your walk with the Lord. And it talks about how we associate or shouldn't associate with people and how we are to live in the light instead of the darkness and how instead of drunkenness, we remain sober. And on and on, it starts to name a few things, but it is not an exhaustive list. Nor is it meant to be an exclusionary list, like these are the only things to be avoided. But it is in the rest of the Word of God that we learn about the other things to be avoided. Foolish talk, quarrelsome attitude, spiteful, holding on to resentment, being unforgiving. Those are also part of the things that God says, let go of. And by our walk in the light, we show what difference it makes of having God, who is the Lord and giver of life, is the one who rules and oversees our heart and our mind. And there are times we don't want God's rule, just like the people at Ephesus. They liked their exclusionary parties. They liked the drunkenness. They liked the sort of party Friday and Saturday and go to church on Sunday kind of mindset, you know. They liked having it both ways, and that's not the way God's light is to work. There's something about God's light that we often forget is not only does light expose, but it defeats darkness. If you would, just look down. Look down. I'm going to tell you what you're looking at. Notice the different shades of light. Notice how some of the carpet is brighter than other areas where the light doesn't quite reach everything. Now imagine there are ants. I don't want to give you the creeps, but imagine there are ants. Where would you be able to see the ants and where would you not see the ants? Now imagine you come in with a spotlight. And the spotlight overcomes all the shades and all the shadows. It not only exposes, but it removes those dark areas, the gray areas. And it reveals what is there. God's word goes a step further, and that which is there, the sin that's in our heart, it removes that through faith, repentance, and forgiveness. It's not merely to show and spotlight where the bugs are, and they go, okay, there's bugs, and then walk away. The word of the Lord has the power to get rid of that. And when we hold hostage the word and we put the category like preaching should be politically correct, all we're trying to say is the word should have no power of light. It should not expose, nor should it remove that which we want to hold on to. So God's word for today teaches us some things about time management. It tells us that our words matter. Our words matter for our own sake as well as those around us, that they should not be empty and shallow and meaningless. It tells us that our lifestyle matters, that it either is a witness for God, that God is running the clock in our hearts and in our mind, that God is the one who leads us in the direction we should go, or we're opposing God. We're doing as little as possible to get away as soon as possible. I have found that all church members look alike when they yawn, from this point of view. Last Sunday we were joking that the service was shorter. I don't know if some of you might have watched your clock last week, and in our children's team meeting, someone said it was shorter. And I said, yeah, we got out at first service end at 9:45, and second service, 9 o'clock, first service end at 9, and the second one was over at 10:45 and to 11:45. And they go, it was. And I said, yeah, that'll teach people to miss a Sunday when I was short. If we're only here to fulfill our duty, we're watching the clock. We're managing time in a human kind of way. But if we're here to glorify God, then the clock doesn't matter. Our faith does. And our faith drives us to praise, to worship. Even when the hymn may be unfamiliar, our faith drives us into the words of the text. Our faith drives into the scripture readings. Our faith drives us to pray and to praise God. Our faith leads that way. This lesson is about how God leads in our life. That all of our life is about His managing us and giving us the gift of eternal life. In the scriptures, it talks about it's not I, but Christ who lives in me. What we do today tends to be more, well, God has me on Sunday and the rest is mine. And that's not Christ's management. That's the clock. The people at Ephesus had the dilemma. What do we do? And the word of the Lord taught them, look carefully then how you walk, not as unwise, but as wise, making the best of the time because the days are evil. Therefore, do not be foolish, but understand what the will of the Lord is. You cannot do, you will not follow, what you do not understand the will of the Lord is. And that doesn't mean we have all the answers, because God doesn't tell us everything. Sometimes He leaves information out and He wants us to simply obey, to be subservient to His guidance and to His leadership. But to be in the Word is to learn how to manage. And if you think about the areas of your life, I said to the kids, the Word of God does teach us what kind of students to be. But it also teaches us what kind of single young adults to be, what kind of husband or wife to be, what kind of worker in the public place to be, what kind of church worker in God's house to be, what kind of parent to my children we are to be, and what type of grandparent. What type of friend are you? The word of the Lord has covered many of these topics. And what happens is when we do silly things and foolish things and hurtful things, excuse me. Sometimes we missed it and we recognize that, if I had only known. I can't tell you how many people I've been by their bedside and they talked about if they had only known when they were dying. You are very much alive. Alive in Christ. Your life isn't over. Your day has just begun. Today is the day of confessing that Christ is your manager. And he doesn't lord it over you like a yoke. He talks about how it's light. For he has carried the brunt of the load. He has taken our sins to the cross. He has given us the power of the resurrection. He has given us the gift of life. Christ is your manager. He teaches you how to be that partner in marriage and parent and the leader in the family. And he teaches you how to do that. And the more you're in the Word, the more you will grow in those understandings. But to not be in the Word is to recognize, yes, the days are evil. And the next sentence should be, and I'm part of it. Because I'm not willing to change. I'm a part of it because I take it for granted. I'm a part of it because I'm silent and I don't raise my objection. I'm a part of it for whatever reason. Paul found the people at Ephesus tough, a tough nut to crack. And yet, there were those lights, people who shined in their faith. You are people who get to this opportunity to shine in the faith. The times are evil. We don't have to be. The neighborhood can be corrupt. We don't have to be. Leadership at all levels can be shallow. We don't have to be. People are untruthful, lying, cheating, and conniving. We don't have to be. We are called into the light. And the power of that light exposes and removes that which is sinful within us. And we are renewed every day. Today is your opportunity to make the most of the day. To be the spouse, the parent, the grandparent, the worker, the student, the member of our community, a member of this church, all in the name of Christ. Amen.